This is The Topic is Trek, episode 50 for Friday, August 23rd, 2019. Resistance to synergy is futile. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, the topic is Trek. Engage already! Well, hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I'm Clinton Allford, one of your Topic is Trek co-hosts. And beaming in to join me, as always, are Mr. Craig Stepp.
Hello, 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 again.
And Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
Good show title there, Clinton. That's in my top 50.
Indeed. Wait a minute now. Hold on a second. This is only show number 50.
It's in there somewhere.
It's in the top 50, yeah.
So I don't know. We don't have any big celebration planned for episode 50, so we can put on our hats and maybe get some noisemakers or something, or
let the horn of what is it?
You want to hear that? Craig's really rooting for that one. Okay, horn of eternity.
On this auspicious occasion, let the horn of eternity cut a thunderous blast.
Makes him laugh every time.
That's classic.
So there you go.
That and Homer and the sock puppet. Oh gosh. All right. Sorry.
So that's all we got, people. That's all we got.
Good night.
Good night.
There's only about 57 minutes left. Trust us.
We'll plan better for 100. So stand by for that. Okay.
I bet it sounds even funnier at double speed, Craig.
I bet it does.
Okay. And I also want to make note that this week would have been Gene Roddenberry's 98th birthday. He was born on August 19th, 1921.
Wow. We're going to celebrate for his 100th?
We will. Hopefully with a better celebration than we did for our 50th. So,
The horn of a turn. Never mind.
And then we have some exciting news to share. We've got deets, as the kids say these days.
Finally.
Yes. Yeah. We have
the scab off. I mean, the curtain off.
That just sounds horrible.
Deets, doesn't that kill the mosquitoes?
Hopefully.
The topic is Trek. We'll have a panel at Dragon Con once again this year. It will be Saturday, August 31st at 7 p.m. in the Trek Track.
Basement.
And that is the Hilton Galleria 2-3, which is the basement of the Hilton, essentially.
Because that's where podcasters belong.
Yeah. In the basement.
They said it, not me, although I have to agree with them. So if you're going out to do things on Saturday night at Dragon Con, well, a great way to kick things off is to come to the Topic is Trek, and then you'll want to be drinking afterwards. So
that's our plan.
Or maybe before.
And as if that wasn't enough, I'd also like to announce that our Technorama/Comedy Forecast and Friends live show will be happening again this year at Dragon Con.
Yes.
And that's going to be on Sunday. So the next day, September 1st at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Plenty
that's
of early. Time to recover from your hangover.
Yeah, that's right.
It's early.
Well, not so much so in the Hilton Galleria 6. So you want to go across the hall for that one. And we will have special guests, Dr. Pamela Gay and author Amy J. Murphy will be joining us for the show.
Awesome.
And stick around. You can
stay in your seat because I'm on a panel right after that too.
Don't push it, Chuck. Don't push it.
Yeah.
I have my guest status this year and I'm going to flaunt it.
There you go.
Oh, great.
Also, I want to mention that I'm playing Star Trek Online as part of my dog days of podcasting this year. Yep. And if you want to listen to that, as well as all the, how many other shows are participating in dog days this year, Craig?
We had like 16, because one came in, one was a late comer, but apparently everybody likes him.
Oh, okay. So he can stay, I guess.
Yeah. What?
No, I mean, everybody had signed up, and then we ended up with one other guy. He said, hey, by the way, I signed up. I was like, oh, I didn't even notice that, so I had to enable him. So it's the commute guy, the Steve Falconer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Craig is an enabler. You heard it here first.
That's right. So we got 16 feeds, and hold on 1 second. I'll tell you how many podcasts we've got so far. There's 269 podcasts have been created.
Good thing we're almost done.
My goodness.
So.
And you can find out more information, go to dogdaysofpodcasting.com for that.
That's right. I am woefully behind on listening to everybody, but I'm trying my best to keep up. Just meetings at work and everything is like, you know, everybody's like, I see people all day long. They're like, why you got earbuds in your ears all day? Because I'm trying to catch up.
What is this work you're talking about that gets in the way of podcasting? I don't understand any of this. these phrases you're tossing around.
I know. Chuck's got one too, I think.
Called a paycheck.
Ah.
You remember that, don't you, Clinton?
I do. Back in the old days.
Yeah. Now you live on a fixed income and here you are podcasting.
That's right. What does that say about anything? I have no idea.
You hope your Patreon kicks in.
and before people panic, I'm retired. I'm not. So, okay. Let us get to our subspace chatter. What do you say, Charlie?
You know that subspace chatter?
Charlie, after all this time.
We've had this talk.
We have several times, it seems. And speaking about having a talk, I think we need to have a talk with a certain captain who wants to be back in the game here.
Yes. And I don't find this, surprising at all. But in the first season of Star Trek Discovery, the U.S. Discovery was led by Captain Gabriel Lorca, a no-nonsense leader who pushed the crew to their limit in the Klingon War. And then it's
Okay. But you're going to spoil something, right?
If you're listening to this show and you hadn't seen that,
you're doing it wrong.
Shame on you. Anyway, which turned out to be his true home, the Mirror Universe. And alas, that was where he met a grisly fatal fate at Star Trek Las Vegas. No, not at Star Trek. He found them.
No, he didn't meet his grisly fate at Star Trek Las Vegas.
That's
no,
been known to happen to many of Starfleet officers. There's a period in there.
I didn't stop. Yeah. Isaac's talked about how he went into the job knowing the full story of Loco's one season arc, but by the end, he was already feeling the loss. He has said, I knew going in.
Oh, please do. Please do.
Let's hear your best Jason Isaacs British accent.
No. You don't want that. Anyway, I knew going in that I was just doing one season. I felt like a great thing to do, and I felt fine about it. But as I got close to everyone and close to understanding, understood the significance of Star Trek and the brilliant storytelling that was what it means to this world, I felt a loss of that
paycheck. Paycheck.
Yeah, and his loss of his paycheck. Mm-hmm. During the Q&A session of his time on stage, Isaacs was asked straight up if he would return to Star Trek as Lorca. The sardonic English actor started with a bit of mischief. How do you know I'm not already? Of course, I would do it. I'd love it. Later, Isaac said that he actually talked to producers about returning to Star Trek. Oh, here we go. So, I have talked to them plenty. Where and when nobody ever dies, there's a prime Lorca. There are three different shows coming out. And multiple seasons. If I can squeeze back into that 8-year-old uniform, I would do it. Who wouldn't do it again? They are timeless stories.
It's not that the uniform was 8 years old. It was fitted for an 8-year-old boy.
Well, let's don't say that. So
it just sounds wrong.
But you know what? I have a feeling that when actors start to drop things like this, that they're actually intentionally leaking it on behalf of CBS, Paramount, whoever.
I don't know.
Trying to plant the seeds that people go, oh, I'd love to see him in there again.
We'd been misled before.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it, it would be very difficult for him to come back in Discovery at this point. So he would have to look at something like Picard. Section 31 or Picard to come back in.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that wouldn't hurt things because Prime Lorca wouldn't have any knowledge of a spore drive because he was never in charge of Discovery. So he wouldn't be like this. What do you mean spore drive? Well, you don't know what a spore drive is.
Technically, he died on a whole nother, he died on a whole nother ship.
Maybe.
Or something happened to him because all we know is that Mirror Universe Lorca got picked up.
Yeah, could have locked him
away. Claiming that he was lost on the Brant that the rest of the crew would.
Brant, that's what I was trying to remember. Yeah, that's where they technically supposed to have died, the prime one.
So we shall see.
Am I right?
I don't know. I feel like it would be a stretch, but I wouldn't count it out.
I've been floating in space for 6 years. Thank God you picked me up.
Yeah, that's right. I was really hard holding my breath that long.
I was imagining a spacesuit.
They get him on board and all you say. That was good.
He's got his hands on his knees.
And boy, are my arms tired.
Yeah. I'm sure they could work out something where, you know, where Prime Lorca did live. But, you know, we don't know what Prime Lorca's like. So I wonder how different he is from the mirror one.
Well, it's interesting. The article does go on to say that he thinks that there isn't necessarily a lot of difference between the two of them, which I thought was interesting. And he has a different spin on the mirror universe, just being about certain evolution of things. So
Mirror Lorca was able to fool a lot of people in our universe. So,
right.
They can't be all that different.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, let's move on to our next story where a Star Trek actor chastises or possibly shakes their finger at Paramount. And maybe we'll get an accent read from Chuck on this story.
Which one? He's done like so many. I could do that crazy thing from The Boys that he does. Nah, let's skip it. Carl Urban, this is from movieweb.com, by the way. Carl Urban starred in the 2009 Star Trek reboot directed by J.J. Abrams, spoiler alert, as well as the sequels Into Darkness and Beyond. It remains entirely unclear if Quentin Tarantino would utilize the current cast or if he would go another route. In any event, even though he admits to not having any insider info, Urban feels making this movie would be the right way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what Urban had to say about it in a recent interview. This is a project that I'll have no information about, really. I haven't read a script for it, but I understand the basic concept of it. I think Quentin Tarantino would be doing that film would be phenomenal. All right, we'll give that up. He is definitely one of the most exciting filmmakers that's currently working. And if he has any interest in making a Star Trek film, I think the studio would be insane not to let him do that. Wow.
I agree.
So he's a fan. He wants to do it, but he hasn't said what, if anything, is happening on that.
Yeah. I mean, we're still up in the air and, you know, our main topic we're going to be talking about being about the merger. I think that keeps things up in the air at this point.
A little bit.
As far as all this goes, but, you know, and to the same point we had about Jason Isaacs, I mean, to some extent, this is Carl Urban saying, yeah, I'm on board because you want me back as McCoy, right?
If they ask me, I'll be there. Yeah,
I do. I'll be honest with you. I didn't see enough of McCoy.
He's a good McCoy. And I think he and Zach captured that McCoy and Spock dynamic. Mm-hmm. That DeForest and Leonard did. It was sort of that, you know, I hate you, but I really love your brother kind of thing.
Yeah. The first movie planted those seeds because they had a brief couple of conversations, but the second one, I was like, Oh, yeah, they're playing off each other really well. I want to see more of this.
Well, that's what made the first movie so comical is when McCoy first saw him. I like him. Like, yeah. Yeah. What?
Yeah, that'll change. All right, let's move on to a story that comes to us from copyhype.com.
And how can you not want to go check out copyhype.com?
Clickbait, maybe?
It's sort of. But Star Trek writer aped author's work, says Dr. Seuss Estate. The opening brief in Dr. Seuss Enterprises versus Comics Mix was filed this week with the Ninth Circuit. The Seuss Estate is appealing a lower court decision that held an unauthorized mashup of Oh, the Places You'll Go and elements from the Star Trek franchise was permitted under fair use. And we talked about the story when that ruling came down. The book is called Oh, the Places You'll Boldly Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were sued by the estate of Dr. Seuss. And the court said, no, that's fair use. But the Seuss estate is appealing that ruling to the Ninth Circuit.
Pardon poopers.
I would have more details on this, but apparently it's so dry that I couldn't find anything that wasn't a lawyer's site behind a paywall that even bothered boring? To talk about it.
A legal proceeding that's boring? I can't fathom that.
But I watch all those procedurals on TV. They're always amazing.
Yeah, I'll say that's crazy talk, Clinton.
Daredevil is awesome. He's a great lawyer.
That's right.
All right. Froggy, not so much. But anyway. Yeah. So we're going to talk about next up is a timely story. And by timely, I mean, if you're listening to the live feed, which we do not have, this story is for you.
Is it my turn?
More so.
Yes, it is.
So, yes.
Yeah. So Barbara March, TNG's DS9 Klingon Lursa, passed away at 65. So another Star Trek celebrity has ascended to Stofokar. Car. And we have learned that Barbara Scruff, I can't ever say her name right. We learned that Barbara Scruff, credited as Barbara March, the actress who played magnificently evil Lursa, one of the Duras sisters, passed away on Sunday, Sunday before August 13th, after a battle of cancer. To get together with the Klingon sister Bator, she wreaked havoc on an episode Star Trek The Next Generation, Redemption, Part 1 and 2, Fishborne, and Deep Space Nine, past prologue, and also starred in the feature film Star Trek Generations, and had a hand in destroying Enterprise-D. I'll just throw it out there.
Indeed.
Without, so, you know, they have a picture of, in here, of her without her makeup. She actually is a very beautiful woman.
Yes, absolutely.
She will be missed.
Yeah, actually, it was funny, just before I saw this article, I was just thinking about those two, because, you know, they were villains off and on for a while, and then, and I just happened to see the story. I don't know why I was thinking of them. Anyway, so, sorry to hear that.
All right, well, let's move on to some lighter news by going out to the old ballpark.
Oh, you had me with this headline. I was really looking forward to seeing this. If you head to Busch Stadium on Wednesday, August 21st, you can get the inaugural Star Trek night, which is, this is from Star Trek.com, so it's official, at Busch Stadium, St. Louis, Missouri. Head to the stadium, and you will get a special theme ticket, which will take you can take home for an exclusive Star Trek / Cardinals cap. This is, when I saw the Cardinals cap, I'm like, oh, that would be the Arizona Cardinals football team? No, this is the St. Louis baseball team. So it is a black baseball cap with a red Delta shield on it, and then the STL on the side for the St. Louis.
I'd wear it.
I'd wear it, too.
Yeah, well, you know, it's actually happening tonight as we're recording it, so... Oh. Look on eBay tomorrow.
Yeah. That's right. And you'll find them there.
Now, yeah. a lot of sporting events give away little tchotchkes like this when you walk in. We got a, I think I showed this on Technorama, a Nick Ahmed. He's one of the baseball players for the Diamondbacks. And
he played
it was
Jar Jar Binks.
It was on July 21st, I think was the game. And that was the Apollo 11 50th anniversary. So they passed out a little spaceman, a bobblehead spaceman baseball player guy. And they said, if you come back on August 3rd, then you get the Chase Bank sponsored Haboob Globe, which is like a snow globe, only it's got cactus and sand in it, which I thought was very entertaining.
Oh, like there's not enough of that around where you live.
Well, sandstorms blow around here. We don't get any snowstorms. So,
oh, you said sand and cactus.
It's like a snow globe, but instead of snow, it's got sand.
I see.
That's pretty cool. That was very funny. That was brilliant marketing. But yeah, hopefully some of our listeners may be at the game and pick up one of these caps and can show it to us. Or give it to us at DragonCon.
Yeah, that's right. Come meet us at DragonCon. Bring three.
We know you had to pay extra for your ticket, but just give us the cap. You know, that's all we ask.
Real fans know what to do.
Real fans of the show know what to do.
All right. Now we have somebody jumping ship. Is the next story. Marvel's podcast series casts Star Trek Discovery's Ethan Peck as Reed Richards.
Sweet.
Marvel's new podcast, and this comes to us from Screen Rant, so you want to rant at your screen there. Marvel's new podcast series has found its Mr. Fantastic in Star Trek Discovery's Ethan Peck. The actor is the grandson of Hollywood icon Gregory Peck.
I was just about to ask what the relationship was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and he's talked about that before. After minor appearances in such shows as Gossip Girls, he earned his breakout role playing a new and sometimes bearded version of Spock in season 2 of CBS All Access show. Revealed to be the brother of Discovery's lead character, Michael Burnham, the character recurred throughout the sophomore outing.
Spoiler alert.
Well,
too late.
As we said, it's out there already.
Do we have a statute of limitations on our spoilers?
Spoiler one, shame on me. Spoiler twice.
Yeah, the season's been over for like, several months, I think.
A year.
There you go. So this is interesting because it's another case of, you know, actors just want the work. They don't see lines. They don't, you know, yeah, this is, now this could be kind of a Disney thing. I'm not sure if Disney is, much Disney is involved in this. But hey, it's an actor. He wants to be employed. He does a show. He puts on a good show. You know, so this would be interesting. I don't know. Does Marvel have a series of podcasts at this point, or because they talk about
they
this?
They actually just started. I haven't subscribed to any, but I do. I am aware that they had started podcasting, and they're sort of doing podcasts for different shows. Like Wolverine was a big one.
Okay, I should sell them a book.
Yeah, why don't you offer him a book at Dragon Con? Is he going to be? He's going to be at Dragon Con, right?
He is. I think he is. Yeah. I think he is.
Well, you can see him on the cruise too, Chuck.
I'll sign one for him. I'll sign it, then sell it to him.
Sign it and slide it over to him. There you go. You're welcome. But no, they did it. Marvel was doing a Wolverine podcast, and I really need to check them out. I haven't even listened to anything, but I knew they were doing several shows. So he's going to be Reed Richards, which would be cool.
Yeah, they don't. I don't think it doesn't mention who the other members of the Fantastic Four are being voiced by, but okay.
Hey, by the way, you know what? This is it kind of bugs me a little bit. You know, you have people, and I'm not saying Ethan Peck's a huge star, but at the same time, you know, when they do these animated movies and they put these big name actors on there and they show their names on the screen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? There's so many talented voice actors that
I know.
Do not have famous faces. It's just disgusting to me that they don't try and pick out of that herd to get some talent into a movie.
Well, it's to me, it's not only that, it's having, Chris Pine doing, I think he does BMW, and I forget who does, I think
Matthew John McConaughey.
John Hamm does one of them as well. It's like, okay, that you're not even saying who the actor is. So there's no benefit to hiring a familiar actor when you could use a voice over a person who's desperate for work.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I hear you and I understand that.
Yeah. So. I mean, I think I like, Billy West and stuff like that. I'm like, you know, you have all these talents out there, but like, who was doing Honda for a long time? It was why can't I think of
wasn't John Boy doing one of them for quite a long time? His name I can't recall, but from the Waltons.
Thomas. Richard Thomas.
Yeah.
Richard Thomas. Richard Dreyfuss. He was doing Honda. For a long time.
I don't know. He's got a more recognizable voice, but I mean, if I didn't tell you that, you know, it was Chris Pine or John Hamm, I don't think you'd even know. So it's like, well, why not give it to somebody who is trying to hone their craft like, as a voiceover?
I saw the trailer for the new Angry Birds movie. I'm a trailer junkie. Okay. I watch trailers all the time, but I was watching that and they go doo, 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 and they're showing all the names. And I'm like, that's an impressive list of names, but why do they need that? They're animated characters, and there's so many better people that can do voices.
There are birds and there are pigs. What do you got to know about this?
And you're gonna have a bunch of kids watching it who really aren't gonna know the difference.
I know. I mean, there's some actors that are obviously talented at doing voices, but there's a lot of people that do voiceover work way more talented. So, whatever. Anyway, that's my rant for today. Thank you. Good night.
All right. Down off that soapbox because you get the next story.
Oh, okay. So the next story, speaking of, I was trying to think of a good segue, but I'm not. Star Trek's Will Wheaton dressed up as Riker for a 1980s themed party. And go over there and take a look at the picture. Let's see. I'm trying to read your note. Read. From the beginning through the end of Greg.
Well, he's trying to check that part out. I'll tell you that when he said go over there to look at the picture, you can find a link to the story that Craig is about to talk about, as well as all the other stories that we've been talking about this evening in the show notes for episode 50 over at thetopicistrek.com.
That's right. All so right. Will, now thanks for setting me up.
No
so
problem.
Will Wheaton, who appeared as Wesley Crusher in the Star Trek Next Generation, paid homage to this week to the show by suiting up as Commander Riker for a 1980s themed costume party. Wheaton went with the choice of Will Riker for the third season of the classic sci-fi series and certainly looks the part, even down to his own beard. Of course, he's had a beard for a while, so it kind of fits the mold. The reason behind the costume was Wheaton's wife's 50th birthday party, but it also gives us a nice idea of how the actor might look if he joined the cast of, wait for it,
Picard.
Star Trek Picard. So commenting on the Instagram photo, which you can see below on the article, Wheaton explained, last night we had a 50th birthday party for at Ann Wheaton. She requested an 80s costume party, so I went as Commander Riker from the season 3 of TNG. And you can tell it's a season 3 because they have collars.
And if does it look like he's wearing a black badge Delta Shield?
No, I think it's just
I think it's the lighting. Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, it's a cool picture.
I love how it's classic. In a carousel. It's one picture. And if you click the carousel, it goes to black. And then comes
I think there's supposed to be an ad there or something. Anyway, that's classic Will.
Okay. It is indeed. And speaking of people and Picard and all that type of conversation going on, and Next Generation leads us right into our next story.
I just want to be the guy at that party who goes up to Will Wheaton and says, who are you supposed to be?
Wah, wah, wah.
No, really. Who are you supposed to be?
Hey, Ensign number 3. Hey, I love your costume.
Ensign Gonzalez.
Rodriguez.
All right. From comicbook.com. You know what that means. Possible typos. we have news. As Craig did, I didn't follow the directions either. Okay, here we go. LeVar Burton is known for two generations as Kunta Kinte in Roots, Geordi LaForge in Star Trek Next Generation, and is a host of Reading Rainbow. He's headed to Keystone Comic Con at the Pennsylvania Convention Center in Philadelphia next weekend, and ahead of the show, comicbook.com caught up with the actor, director, and podcaster. I can sell him a book too.
Yeah.
I like your comment. Sign the book, push it across the table. There you go. Would you like to get a picture with me too?
You're welcome. Yeah, that's right.
I so want to do that on the cruise. Don't give me ideas. Burton appeared during the Emmy Awards to represent Star Trek The Next Generation when the Star Trek franchise was given the Governor's Award, with several of his Next Generation co-stars returning in Star Trek, wait for it, Picard, on CBS All Access. Some have wondered if he may reprise his role as Ensign Gonzalez. No, Geordi to join them. In an interview over the phone, Burton discussed the convention circuit, the past, present, and future of Star Trek franchise, what he envisions for Geordi's future, and whether he may step behind the camera again for an episode of Star Trek.
And I would skip the first question and answer and go to the second one.
Some of you will be hanging out again in Star Trek Picard like everyone else. I'm curious about whether you see Geordi in the new series, but I'm also curious whether you'd be interested in directing, given your history directed Star Trek episodes. LeVar replied, currently I directed one show and that's NCIS New Orleans. I direct because, number one, I love directing. I'm lucky to be able to do it as a storyteller to direct. Number two, I don't suck at it. That's important when you do a job. Three, yeah. I love the people that I do it with. Those are the reasons for me to direct. Right now, I'm only directing one show. There are a lot of ways that I tell stories in my life these days. Like I said, I'm really lucky whether I'm acting, directing, writing, producing, podcasting. I'm a storyteller. I'm an itinerant storyteller. Is that the right word? Did I read that right? Okay. We'll go with that. Never heard a storyteller being described that way. It's not just what I do. It's in my DNA. It's who I am. He didn't say it like that, but I can imagine him.
Hopefully not.
If asked, absolutely, I would find time in my life for it because it would be a joy again, as I say, to hang out with Patrick Stewart and whoever else is in the cast. Wink, wink. I met a couple of the people. I know Jonathan Del Arco, and I know that Hugh figures prominently in Picard. If Hugh's there, it would only make sense to have Geordi, right? Because they were like buds.
Oh, yeah.
I love the way you both said that. The same.
I know. Jinx.
just saying.
And he makes note that Jerry Ryan and Brent are in it also. So, you know, I got friends on that set, which is nice. I don't know if he's hinting at anything or just saying, yeah, if they asked, I'd consider it strongly.
You know what? If you don't see him in the first season, I can almost guarantee you're going to see him in the second season.
They're going to try and spread this out?
I think that they would be smart to do that because that leaves, well, we saw these people who we're going to see in season two, maybe, you know, so I think that that might be the way to go with it.
Or they kill off one of the classic characters and everybody comes back for a funeral.
Well,
and it's Picard in the second episode. It's really wild.
Gee, there's a turn we didn't predict.
Quite Seven the twist. Seven of Nine falls into an oil slick pit.
His and, comments were,
let's wrap this up, shall we?
You know,
that's my other show, Sir Patrick. Get back there. Get back
look,
there.
You look how many people they actually pulled out of the ether back into the show. You got Riker. Dana Troy, yes, Seven of Nine,
Q,
and then you got Data. Okay, so season four, you're obviously not going to have. I don't think you'd have the same people. Maybe one or two continue maybe a little bit, but then you got to have somebody and some other like we already heard Robert Picardo talk about being approached for season two. So I can't imagine they wouldn't go scrub around those same kind of areas like Voyager and Deep Space Nine and get some other characters to pop in.
Well, if they got Jerry Ryan, you could always ask her, hey, what's Ichep been up to? She'd say, who?
Yeah, I'm asking who. What?
They had, those were like the other Borg kids they brought on later in Voyager.
Oh, that's right.
It was like Muppet Babies with Borgs. Muppet Babies. All right, let's move on to our last story.
Waka waka.
And this comes to us from Marketplace, a classy type of thing.
That's right.
Marketplace's Jack Stewart spoke with Manu Saadia, author of the book Trekonomics. And this article is about the money and the lack of money in the Star Trek universe. He says the concept of a society with no money is crucial to the series. The following is an edited transcript of the conversation. Now, if you go to the show notes for episode 50 over at thetopicistrek.com, we have a link to this story and they have embedded audio of the entire interview, but I'm going to read you just this one quote. It defines the ethos of all the characters in Star Trek. It defines the universe, and it is the absence of money, but it's also the changes in behaviors. You hear Patrick Stewart playing Jean-Luc Picard give a spiel, and he's like, we've eliminated hunger, want, the need for possessions. We've grown out of our infancy. And so the reporter goes on to ask, so if there's no money, there's no currency, if they don't have that to drive to accumulate wealth, what motivates characters in Star Trek? Well, you'll have to read the rest of the article to find out about that, to go to the show notes for that. But I think the book did sound familiar, Trekonomics, but I feel like it's also, that's a phrase that's thrown around. So maybe I was just familiar with the phrase and didn't know that there was a book.
How do you account for the Ferengi and their Latinum?
Well, they're not Federation, though, right? So other cultures still have money.
Apparently. Well, wasn't the Federation, I guess the whole, the whole thing was kind of predicated on, I guess, replicators and stuff, not having to worry about working for food and water and stuff like that, right?
Right. I think I've got
kind of freedom.
There are various times when they talk about credits and that type of thing. So I think that it's possible, without reading the book, that it's possible that the way it works is you do have to have some currency if you're going to deal with people that deal with currency. Right. So if you go to, say, the K7 space station and you want to buy a Tribble, and, you know, Cerno Jones wants to sell you one because he's a merchant and he's not part of the Federation, he's an independent contractor, how do you make that transaction work?
You just buy him a drink. Everybody knows that.
You have to buy him a drink.
Right. But those come out of the replicator, so you're good.
Yeah. Well, then he doesn't need you to buy him a drink. It's very confusing. I don't know.
Read the book.
You get him a drink, you hand it to him, and he gives you a Tribble.
But the lady gets one for free. All right. Now, in addition to all the stories we talked about, we have 10 additional stories we did not have a chance to talk about.
We're down.
You can find links to all of those shows.
Only 10 this time.
Well, we're coming into the end of the summer. Things are kind of winding down for a little bit here. You can find all those over in the show notes for episode 50 over at thetopicistrek.com. All right, we're coming back now. We're going to close up subspace chatter. And we're going to go on an away team adventure.
Ooh, diddle-le-le-le.
Wow, and special effects after 50, they really hold up.
I'm out of here.
Our Patreon budget is exploding.
Because Craig has a story to tell about an adventure he had that was Star Trek related.
Oh, do I? Oh, yes, I do, actually. I went to Dave and Buster's. Kim and I were on a mini vacation, and we were walking around. I was like, I looked right ahead, and I went, there's a Dave and Buster's. We were actually looking for a place to have a, you know, like a little appetizer or snack before dinner. And I saw it. Dave and Buster's was like, we got to go in there. And so I talked her into it, and she was gracious enough to let me go in. And play the, I found the Star Trek virtual experience. Now, this machine actually has, I think I remember seeing three different games. One was like Men in Black, there was Star Trek, and Jurassic Park. That was the other one. So you could play either one of those. I only played the Star Trek one. So you go buy a ticket and or pay for it. And when you sit down, of course, they give you a controller. It's much like probably seen like the Oculus controllers where they're, you hold them in your hand. It has like a circle around it. So, it knows where you're holding it in the space, you know, in front of you. So, as I was, starting to play it, I saw, that you're on a bridge of a starship, much like you know, any other experimental starship, like on Star Trek. It's had huge front screens. And you're supposed to be going to this asteroid field, and Spock actually comes in, which is Zachary Quinto.
Oh,
he pops in and he starts talking, and it's not his, it's a computer version of his face. And he is telling you that you have to be careful. The Klingons are active in this area. However, we're doing this scientific experimentation and you got to do this. So you start trying to scan the asteroids, and then the Klingons come in, of course, and they start shooting at you, and you have to aim and shoot their ship. So it's really more of a shooter game, but it was fun. It was really cool. And I looked over at one point, and right there on the across from me was to my right was what's his name? Eric. I'm sorry?
Eric's.
Eric's, yeah. I noticed his orange neck, and he's got three arms, and he's running the control panel. And I looked over and I went, wait, I know that guy.
That guy? Went to high school with him.
We went to different schools together. Yeah.
Apparently, I didn't remember his name. No, I did know his name. But I looked over and went, whoa, I can't believe that they dropped a character like that into this.
How much did they pay over him? There.
But what's funny is I had to stare at him for a minute because he had his three arms were doing his thing, you know, on the control panel.
Craig, it's not polite to stare.
Yeah. He looks at me like, what are you looking at? But what was really cool about the whole thing was how encompassing it was. So you see this huge view screen, and actually I looked around, which would be behind the seat I'm in, you know, way behind me, and you can see the entire bridge that you're on. The Klingons shoot. There was a breach in the screen to my left, and I saw a guy holding on to the control panel before he got flown out into space.
Oh my!
Like you've seen in Star Trek, like Deep Space Nine, or I'm sorry, 2009, stuff like that. And I'm like, whoa, this is like getting real. So you have to, you had to shoot. I'm trying to remember. The guy told me, you don't need to use the big blue button, which is like a thumb button on the control panel, only the trigger, because it's kind of a shooting game. Not true, because Spock told me that I had to use that for the shields.
Ah.
So I did, and I told the guy that later. I was like, yeah.
Wrong one, Craig. Wrong one.
Yeah, that's the phasers. So anyway, you shoot the Klingons. I blew up some Klingon ships, and we finally made it out alive. And of course, what was cool was, you're fighting and you don't see the Enterprise. They're damaged and they're kind of doing their own thing. Full power was restored and they come out at the last minute and help you out. It's really cool. So it was a fun game. Apparently there's a couple different outcomes. There's like two or three different outcomes to the whole story. So,
do you get the sense that it's the outcomes are based on how well you do, or it's just that it's random outcomes?
I don't know. All I saw was the one outcome, so I wouldn't know what the other ones were, but they didn't offer that, so I don't know.
Now, I think when I saw the commercial for it, it showed four people sitting on the bench. Mm-hmm. Do they have to wait till it's full, or do they run it with? Okay.
No. So, when I played it by myself, so I was just sitting in there, but the other games I saw people playing before I sat down, there was a guy and his kid, they played, and there was another one where three people were playing. I'm not sure where they were playing Jurassic Park or something, but there was more than one person sitting in the chair. So you can play one or more.
So I'm wondering if there are four people there, if you don't get, you know, a three-armed buddy at the control. Because maybe that's another player at that station then. I don't know.
I was thinking about that same thing. So the guy to the left, I guess, he gets your buddy gets blown out out of the breach.
Sucks to be you. It does. Because it's a blow to me.
Yeah.
I forget which.
To the void of cold space. Sorry. So I don't know. I was thinking about that too. I wonder if there was somebody sitting beside me, if they would be taking the place of Eric's, but I don't know. No, yeah, I looked around.
They would be them, but they would look like Eric's. And then when they look at you, you look like Eric's.
Yeah. What are you looking at?
What are you looking at?
Yeah. Honey, you're like, yeah. So, but what was really cool was how you could really look behind you, and it really had a, gave you a feeling like, hey, you're in a big, you know, control room, like a bridge. Cause I would look behind me and Kim was like, I saw you looking behind you. I was like, yeah, cause there was like stuff not necessarily going on behind me, but there were people at control panels and like they were really interacting, like doing stuff in the game. And it was just interesting. I wanted to see, you know, if Mira Kirk was coming up behind me with a knife. I don't know. I just wanted to see.
and my sympathies, you know, to Kim, because there's nothing sadder than watching somebody play a VR game. You know, you're just looking, you're watching some idiot just moving their head around like crazy. It's like, what are you doing? This, you're just sitting there. What are you doing?
Yeah. I'm sitting there looking up, looking down, looking around. But it was pretty intuitive. I could move my hands and you could see the controller move what felt like was in real time with my hand, you know, where I thought my hand would be in space, in that space. So it was a fun game. I remember it being I thought it was a little expensive. I bet I spent like $6 to play the one time.
Mm.
Wow. So
that's a lot of quarters.
I don't know how many. Hey, I had to do. Yeah, I had to do it at least once. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm a pony up to go see any of the other endings, but
swipe your credit card.
Well, I'll play it at some point because they have Dave and Buster's has opened near us, so I can get my get myself over there. I will play it and see if I end up with the same ending that you did.
Yeah, it was cool right at the end, at least the mine. It's like at the last minute here, it was almost like watching Khan or something. Da-da-da, da-da-da. You know, oh, the Enterprise got full power. Oh, no, it's on now. And they start, you know, helping you out.
Looks like you need a little help.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can do for you. All right. And bring the shuttle back from your away team adventure, because we're going to go out on our main mission now. Don't bump the sides of the spaceship. Okay. We have talked about this happening for so long, but on August 13th, CBS and Viacom announced that they are indeed going to merge together, or really what I consider to be a reunification, because they used to be one thing and now they're getting back together, and this should be completed by the end of the year if all goes to plan. We'll see. The company split back in 2005, if you can't remember that far back. Apparently after Enterprise ended, they said, that's it, we're done, we're splitting up.
Enterprise was so bad.
Yeah, we're just going our own separate ways. Now, to put this in perspective, the merged company, two companies together, is going to have a market cap value of $30 billion. And that sounds impressive. Disney has a market cap of $245 billion. Netflix, $136 billion. And Comcast, which owns NBC and Universal, $193 billion. Mm. So they're a small fish in a very, very big player pond here. But I want to give you a scope of what this merger means, because we always talk about it in terms of Star Trek, but we're talking about, since these two companies split, they've been going their own way, doing their own thing. And when they come back together again, now we're going to combine Paramount Pictures, Paramount Parks and Resorts, the cable channels CMT, which was Country Music Television, Logo, MTV, VH1, Comedy Central, TV Land, Nickelodeon, BET, Paramount Comedy, which apparently is in Russia and the Ukraine, Pop TV, Showtime, the Movie Channel, the Smithsonian Channel, Pluto TV. They own television stations in Argentina, UK, France, Australia. They own the Decades Channel. They own 18 CBS affiliate stations throughout the country. Obviously, CBS News, CBS Sports, the CW, which they half own with Warner Brothers, CBS Television Studios, CBS All Access, of course, CNET, the digital assets for TV Guide, GameSpot, Last.fm, Metacritic, ZDNet, Simon & Schuster, Pocketbooks, Scribner, and the Ed Sullivan Theater. And I've only named like a third of what they own.
Wow.
And the reason I wanted to go through all those is because this merger happened and all the trades were talking about it. You know, everybody from Variety to the Wall Street Journal to Deadline. And what I found amazing is that with all these various properties spread across all these various networks, two franchises get singled out. Mm-hmm. And that's Mission Impossible.
And The Rocker
Files. Which Paramount owns the movie rights to, and CBS owns television, and Star Trek. Out of everything you could possibly mention about the synergies of these two companies, those two things. So when we talk about the significance of Star Trek to this merger, and people may think, oh, well, you're just kind of, because you're interested in Star Trek. No, this is what Wall Street, this is what the trade, this is what everybody. Matter of fact, one of them, Deadline, went so far as to label this, is Star Trek poised to become the new Marvel? Now, I wouldn't go that far, but I mean, it just shows that Star Trek really is a tentpole of these two companies and will be with them combined together. So I think we're in for some interesting times ahead.
It's a tentpole, but then you got Paramount hemming and hawing about making another Star Trek.
Well, like I said, I think we're going to be definitely in a stage right now, because obviously you've got, you know, the board of directors, which is just being named. You have shifts around and all the executives. Everybody's going to want to look at everybody else's budget. Everybody's going to be, you know, talking about synergy, which hence the name of this episode.
Yeah, right.
And about, you know, well, what can we do cross media for all these various things? And how do we, you know, can we utilize, you know, say Chris Pine in a show for All Access, or do we want to have, you know, Discovery make a movie, or, you know, so there's like a lot of moving pieces. And I think that the Tarantino movie or any other Star Trek 4 that would come out may get greenlit pretty fast, but that's relatively speaking, considering the fact that this merger probably won't be finalized until the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I would look sometime mid next year to really start to see anything that resembles this is part of what they're going to be doing now with these properties.
You're probably right. I would say probably you'll start hearing hints of stuff at the beginning of the year, right after they finish their merge. I bet you'll start hearing, oh, we're thinking about this, and we're, you know, as details start getting in a little bit deeper into the year, like you mentioned.
And, you know, we already see this type of thing with Disney and Fox, where I think it was during some Fox sporting event that's when they ran some exclusive extended trailer for, I think it was The Lion King. And when you think about all the properties that will now be under the CBS/Viacom banner, the possibilities of that type of cross promotion are just going to become tenfold,
right,
for this stuff.
Oh yeah.
So I think that, you know, CBS All Access and Star Trek will get a lot more exposure that way.
But so, let me ask you this.
Yes.
With all this exposure and everybody kind of segmenting off, because, you know, Disney can promote their stuff on their own shows, like you talked about, or channels. And then you have CBS Viacom or Viacom CBS, wherever they're, Viacom, CBS, they're going to promote their stuff on their own channels. Is this going to be good for us, the consumer? I guess.
I guess. I mean, one of the things that the articles were talking about was that unlike, at least at this point, unlike Disney, who wants to bring all their stuff in, and, you know, we see a lot of stuff that's going to be on Disney Plus that's Marvel shows and Star Wars shows. Apparently, CBS and Paramount are willing to have that stuff spread out over other things. So they would be, you know, happy to deal with Netflix, apparently, or, you know, that. So I think that it would, I don't think we're going to lose on the deal at this point. I don't think we're going to, I don't think we're going to be going any more behind a paywall than we already are. Now, let's face it, Star Trek already is behind a paywall at this point. So
some of it. You,
The Nickelodeon show won't be, but now that Nickelodeon will also be part of CBS Viacom, you know, who knows what will happen, you know, at that point with it. But yeah, I think that we will, well, we'll gain the advantage that hopefully the show that we are so invested in will get more exposure and therefore will grow some more. And I think that, you know, that's the benefit that I see for, at least for Trek, out of all this.
All right.
And we'll have more podcast listeners.
We will indeed.
They'll come here for all their news.
All their news. As well as going over to the topic is Trek. Ah, see, I caught him off guard. .com.
All this soothsaying is making my head swim.
Indeed. Well, we will come back from our main mission. Then we're going to kind of decompress and go into our warp speed roundtable, as one can decompress by going into warp speed. I'm not sure how that works, but
we're going to get there eventually.
Okay.
Don't push.
That actually does sound better at double speed.
Yeah.
Well, we'll give up. We made it to warp three.
So last time we asked, would you buy Picard wine? And if so, would you open it? And it seems like a lot of people would just guzzle that thing right down.
Yeah, that's right.
This time I have just an interesting what if question that you guys helped me craft. What actor, so this could be any actor, in what Star Trek character, so they're portraying any Star Trek character, would be your ideal surprise guest cameo on Picard? And I will start off because I thought of one that would be, now, of course, you can't have Luxana on Picard. However, I envision Mr. Hom showing up and I envision Mr. Hom being portrayed by Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, that'd be nice.
What? He couldn't speak. Give me that.
Exactly. He couldn't say anything.
Just have that look on his face the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, you need to know where the bathroom is, Mr. Hom? I don't know. All right. So that would be a very, very special surprise guest cameo.
That would be a surprise.
Let me go next to you, Chuck.
We were having a discussion before the show, so I'm not sure if I want to change my mind on this one or not.
Don't steal mine.
I'm okay, then I'll stick with what I had. I want to see Porthos from Enterprise portrayed by Alf in Picard. And I think, Craig, you had a comment that he could have a conversation with Maress. Where are the cats?
Take me to your planet,
right,
quick!
Here.
Revolting.
that could work. That could work. So far, I think we've got a show. And what about you, Craig?
Well, I had two thoughts. One was I wanted to see Gary Oldman playing a Tribble.
A role that would surprise
you. I was trying to put somebody in Cyrano Jones's role, but I was just having a hard time with that.
I would also like to see Bill and Ted show up.
As anybody in particular?
No, Bill and Ted. Just
Bill
show
and
up.
Ted show up. Just they would just show up.
Yeah, the phone booth shows up. And hey, Picard dude, we need you for a report.
We are.
We need you to write the lyrics for our song.
Get out that awesome flute. We're going to jam.
We need you in our band. I can
party
see.
On, Picard,
I see Picard. Excellent.
I think we got a real show going here, people.
Can you do better than that, listener?
Yeah, if you can do better, let us know.
dare you.
So far, we've shamed our listeners, and now we dare them to do better than bottom of the barrel.
That's right.
We have faith in you, but we're reaching the end of the show. So a quick reminder that you can find me, Clinton, over at Comedy Forecast, all one word with the number 4.com. Also on Twitter, Comedy Forecast, Facebook page, Comedy Forecast, MeWe Comedy Forecast, your refrigerator Comedy Forecast, wherever things happen, you'll find me there. And who speaks for you guys this week?
I speak for us. You can
I
find
speak for the users.
If you
no, go ahead, Chuck.
You can find us at Technorama Podcast wherever you enter searches like that, including the Guardian of Forever. He'll tell you what a good time we were.
And remember, if you're going to Dragon Con, we have shows coming up. The Topic is Trek show is going to be on Saturday, August 31st, 7 p.m. in the Trek Track.
We have fun. We have games. We have prizes.
We do. And that'll be in the Hilton Galleria.
Wait, we do?
2-3.
Oh, we okay. Do. We do. Yeah, we do.
And if that's not enough, you can join the three of us again for Technorama / Comedy Forecast and Friends Live following day, Sunday, September 1st, 2:30 p.m. in the Hilton Galleria 6.
We're even going to be in the parade Saturday morning at the end again.
So you can find us all over the place.
It's easy to find us. You just scrub to the end of that video.
That's right.
But for now, we're going to hit the lithium chamber, fill that back up again, and strike up the theme, boys. If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek. Visit our Facebook page or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek, don't put on the red shirt. We'll do better live, really.
Really?
Not really.
No.